This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run, and I'm Melissa Idris. It's coming on to 9:36 now, time for Pressing Matters, the show that's all about going behind the news. And the people behind the news are the journalists, the editors, and the people who own the media organizations. These are the people who make up the bedrock of Malaysian journalism. But what is the state of Malaysian journalism now? A couple of months ago, I attended the Postcode Journalism Campus, organized by the Kuala Lumpur Festival, which tried to shine the spotlight on the state of Malaysian journalism. There were keynotes and panel discussions to get people thinking about the state of today's media. So in the next half an hour on the show, you'll hear from several senior journalists, the likes of Stephen Gunn of Malaysia Kini, Joan Lau of the Malay Mail Online, and Masjaliza Hamza from the Centre of Independent Journalism. But first, here's an excerpt of the keynote address that was given by Johaba Sadiq, the editor of the now-defunct The Malaysian Insider. And this keynote was given just 12 weeks after the online portal was shut down.
So where is Malaysia's journalism today? Is it alive? Is it dead? Is it vibrant? I think it goes beyond what portals like the Malaysian Insider, Malaysia Kini, Malay Mail Online do. That's general news, that's politics, that's what you think you want to know. But you're more interested if someone reviews that bakery that did that salted egg custard croissant and all that, really, you know? That is also journalism. And if you want to know the state of Malaysian journalism, you just look at reviews for the 85th Melbourne coffee place that serves single origin coffee and croissant and coddled eggs. And then you realize something, right? Even in food journalism, no one is critical. So why do you blame the Star, the New Straits Times for their sycophantic views of Malaysia or lopsided views? Because it also happens in food journalism. It happens in any kind of journalism. How many guys have written about cars and said it's a lemon? You should not buy this car. Have you ever read any review that says, please don't buy this car? And if you say it's Top Gear, well, it's not Malaysian, is it? So Malaysian journalism has been in stasis for the longest time. Even with online portals, we try. We try every day, but we are in the business of outrage clickbait. Pa says something. Oh, everyone's outraged. Then UMNO says something. Then everyone's outraged. Every 30 seconds, you're outraged. And then you bang it out on social media. And then you forget about it. You forget to ask yourself in a week's time, what happened to this story? That's the reality. The reality is, in Malaysia, journalism is in a coma because the readers don't demand much more. They just want to read something and say, I've read this. I know this. I'm going to ask you 25 questions about this. How come we did not know a pedophile was here? How come immigration didn't know? How come police didn't know? I mean, if they had known, wouldn't that guy be in jail in Malaysia? Don't you think? We have a very efficient police force. You draw a cartoon and they pick you up. So what more pedophilia, right? So where is Malaysia's journalism today? It's a slow burn, like the movie Spotlight. It's not instant noodles. It will take time. But it also requires three things from everyone else. It requires financing, right? Good journalism requires money. The moment you think, I want it free, ask yourself this question. It's free, you're going to be influenced, right? Someone's paying for it to influence you. If you pay, you'll be informed because you'll get what you pay for. That's the reality. So financing is very important. I realize that. We also need our readers to be accountable or to make us accountable to them. You got to keep us accountable. So you got to tell us what's straight. But do not take things personally. A lot of journalists or journalist wannabes, a lot of readers think they own the media. So one day when you write very fairly about, for example, the government, they say, oh, you've been bought out. No, we're supposed to be impartial, aren't we? Is our impartiality only there when you agree with us? And it goes missing when we go and report about the other side? The third thing we need is this. Malaysians need to read more than just skimming through the headlines. You've got to get a conversation going. You've got to share things with your friends and say, What do you think of this? What can we do about this? It's important that we collectively define Malaysian journalism. Thank you very much.
That was Jahabaz Sadiq, the editor of the Malaysian Insider, his keynote at the Postco Journalism Campus a couple of months ago. Now, with all the new legal restrictions in the pipeline for news portals and blogs, it seems that almost all of the investigative work surrounding the 1MDB case was done by journalists in New York and Hong Kong. Was this a failure of local journalists? Should Malaysian journalism be experiencing a period of greater self-reflection? Here's Joan Lau, managing editor of the Malay Mail Online.
I ask myself that question every day. What kind of journalist or editor am I? When I see one of the biggest news stories out there, the 1MDB, is being covered extensively outside, and never mind that I do not have the kind of reporters who can even break that kind of news here. We actually cannot even pick up that story. I don't know how many of you understand what a pickup is. A pickup is when you actually look at a foreign story and you rewrite it, but you credit it. You do not steal. So that's a pickup. Why am I not doing the pickup? Many reasons. If you write it, I no longer know what are the parameters of sedition or anything like that. I'll be very honest with you. I don't know. I used to have sleepless nights wondering about this when I found out that it can go back to 10 or 11 years, some stupid comment that you made, and they can go after you for that. Am I afraid? Yes. I do not want to wear those orange or purple overalls, I'm sorry. Not a good look for me. But how do I keep my reporters enthusiastic? Do they want to write those stories? Yes. But in all honesty, we do not have the capability of breaking those stories. We are not even now able to even just cover those stories. How do I keep them enthusiastic? I tell them we watch. We watch and we write what we can. And we become very clever. Very, very clever how we write it. But I also ask myself, do you even care? When we go to jail, do you care? I read so many criticisms about Malay Mail Online. People saying that we are sellouts, we are this, we are that, because we write about the opposition or whatever. And then people saying all those things. And sometimes I think, nobody cares. When I go to jail, or my reporter goes to jail, they're not even going to contribute. If I ask for money to pay for legal costs, will you help? I don't think so. I'm not blaming you. Because basically, why should you care? That's our job, yeah? So how do we keep enthusiastic? It's an everyday thing. And at the end of the day, I ask myself that question. Is journalism dead in Malaysia? I don't think so. We are very much alive. We are very brave. Braver than you think. Sometimes by keeping quiet, it seems not like a very glamorous thing to do, right? Not like marching out there and fighting and all that. But we live and we are going to fight for another day.
Today on Pressing Matters, we're going to be playing some of the key highlights of the panel discussion at the Postco Journalism Campus, trying to address some of the main issues plaguing Malaysian journalism. After this, why it's so difficult to finance quality journalism in Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Good morning, you're listening to Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. Today on the show, we bring you the highlights from the Postco Journalism Campus in June, an event which tried to shine a spotlight on the state of Malaysian journalism. Stephen Gunn, the co-founder of Malaysia Kini, was one of the panelists that day.
I'm positive, really. I think, you know, perhaps I'm one of the very few that feel journalism is still doing its job. I think what is in crisis is not so much journalism, but media organization. It's the media as an industry that's in crisis. Journalists, brave journalists and all that, they are everywhere. You know, I could see young journalists in Malaysia that are still doing their job and are even braver than us. And I think, you know, in the next generation, there will be even more of that. Other countries, you can see, they have been, you know, kidnapped, they've been tortured, they've been killed, and journalism persevere in those countries. The only difference is that in those countries, they have media organizations that are willing to carry their work, were willing to carry, you know, their job, their interests, their enthusiasm in holding truth to power, in holding the power to account. Not here so much in Malaysia. We have media organizations that are not, that are spiking, you know, stories as written by all these enthusiastic young journalists. They are not willing to carry what they are writing. And I think that is the failure of media organization.
Now, as the panel discussion moved to the topic of investigative journalism, there was a lot of blame on local journalists for failing to break the big stories, the twists and turns of the 1MDB saga. So has this been a failure on the part of Malaysian media? Here's what Mas Jaliza Hamzah has to say about that. She is the executive officer at the Centre for Independent Journalism. And you'll also be hearing the voice of Uma Pagan Ampike Pagan from BFM's Evening Edition, who was moderating the event.
Is this a failure of Malaysian journalism? I think part of it is. And part of the reasons have been shared by the two panelists as well as Jahaba earlier. It's about resources, it's about all that. I think Malaysian journalism is alive, but it's fledgling. It's gasping for air. It's waiting for some baja to be put in. It's praying for rain. It's looking at all these external factors that need to happen in order for it to grow and grow well. If you're talking about the way with which journalism works now, we mentioned technology. The way with which stories explode, stories get shared, is more than just what's happening by journalists in that one country. We've seen how WikiLeaks, all these things, it takes not just a village, it takes the whole world in order for us to now unpack the kind of issues that need to come out because of the enormity, partly, of the situation. I can't see 1MDB breaking out the way it did if there isn't investment by big companies like New York Times that can afford it, you know, groups in, you know, another one in Hong Kong that can do it. We can't expect a portal or a newspaper to just come up with this out of the blue.
Well, Stephen can't afford to send a journalist to a Prada shop at Hawaii, right? To confirm or deny whether someone was there.
You need. And I think sometimes, if you, right now, part of like, you know, there's outrage journalism, there's all that, etc. There's also whistleblowing kind of journalism, right? If I were someone with information that would sort of put the spotlight on some figures, etc., whether it's their shopping habits or whatever.
Who do you go to?
Who do I go to? Which will be most impactful? You know, I could go to WikiLeaks, I could go to, but the people with resources, that's one of the reasons. And it takes all of us, not just people to demand for good journalism, but it takes different kinds of journalistic outfits and different media organizations in various parts of the world to uncover the kind of scandals that we're saying, because it's not just concentrated in one country. It's about connections in Cayman Islands. It's about Panama Papers, everything. So all these connections and nexus need to be mapped out and done. Yeah.
But good journalism, important journalism, is not just about the big investigative pieces, the politics or the national level scandals. It's also about the issues that are important to you and me, to our everyday lives, issues like cost of living and those that affect our communities. The real news, as Jahaba Sadiq tries to point out, goes beyond political reporting.
So in 1992, I was posted to the town of Ipoh. It's so slow, there was nothing to write about, really. And then I realized there was 9 of us in Ipoh, and the KL desk just wanted 2 stories a day from us, because everything was about Kuala Lumpur. So the mistake I think we still make as journalists, because we have to be based in KL, is there is a world beyond the Klang Valley. There is a world, there is a Malaysia beyond Bangsa, really. Right? There is. So you think about it, so we're so focused on this that we forget there is a real world out there. And I think that's something I any wannabe journalist needs to know, any wannabe editor needs to know, that your website, your news portal, your newspaper is read beyond Bangsa, read beyond Damansara Heights, right? When we started the Malaysian Insider, I told my colleagues then, our competition is not Malaysia Kini, not The Star. Our competition was The Guardian, The New York Times, CNN, BBC, because once you're online, you have a browser, you can go anywhere in the world. And if you admire BBC, Guardian, Independent, it's because it's just beyond the political reporting. It's about real stories, about real people. And I think this is what we need in Malaysia. We need to go beyond Putrajaya.
The truth of the matter is we live and die by likes and clickability. We as journalists, or we like to think of ourselves as real journalists or editors, we want to report the big stories, the human rights and all those things. But many a time when I look at the numbers, it was that story on the Hokkaido baked cheese tart that trumped the story on politics. That's the truth. But we need to widen our coverage. It is true. Life is not just shaped by Putrajaya. Although the policies that they make change our lives, many of the stories out there that resonate with people are not about Putrajaya. Malay Mail Online's single most popular story till today was written by Bu Sulin. What is the story? It is a story about how much people spend on their weddings. Till today, the single most popular story. Why? Because we want to laugh at people who spend a lot of money on their weddings? No, because most people can relate to that. They spend a lot of money on their weddings, more than 100,000 ringgit. People get into debt. So that kind of story resonates with people, and we need to cover more of it. We only have 13 reporters at Malay Mail Online. I would love to cover all sorts of things. As Jahaba says, life is not in Kuala Lumpur, not certainly not in Bangsa. You will always see me sneer if somebody says they're going to have some event at Bangsa. I'll be like, what? No other place, is it? You know, like. But it is our job to know what's going on out there. It is not about you and your five friends. You and your five friends will have the same likes. It's not about you. It's always about other people. If you have a curiosity, that is what journalism is about, telling a story. Other people's story, not your story.
That was Joan Lau from the Malay Mail Online. And earlier you heard Jahaba Sadiq, editor of the now-shuttered The Malaysian Insider. So what is the state of Malaysian journalism right now? I think Joan said it best. We're all just trying to stay alive to fight another day. That's all for Pressing Matters today. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Idris for The Morning Run for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.